better say at the beginning, there is a handout, just in case it doesn't look like anything I'm going to say this morning. That's what I was going to say. Okay. So, but I feel it's all relevant. So, I'm really excited by this month. Not that I'm not about any other month, but I'm really excited about this month. And why is that? Because it's actually a reflection of our mission and our vision. When you start looking at what's in here this month, there's community, there's a global connection of people coming in, there's what God is doing with us as a church, as a body. So I'd encourage you to read this and ask the Holy Spirit to stir you as you read a news sheet. He's able to do that. I know that sounds quite tough, but he's able to stir us as we do that. So I want to talk about the bigger picture this morning. Now, I had two titles in mind, but I went with this one. So you can take either, because I'm going to tell you them both. When I say the bigger picture, I'm meaning God's perspective. So whatever I say in whichever term, whichever's easier that you're going to receive it better, you use that. So I want to talk about God's perspective. Because if we can grasp God's perspective in our lives, then we'll have a different view of what's around us. Our attitude, our approach, the way we serve God will be different. I don't know if you've seen it, it's not particularly clear, but that's a drawing on a pavement. And when you look at that, it gives you a different perspective of the pavement, doesn't it? And that's my prayer this morning, that we each go away with a godly perspective of our surroundings. On what God and what for God has planned for us individually and corporately, his purposes and plans. There are no accidents in his kingdom. Nothing happens by accident. There was a cowboy who applied for health insurance. The agent routinely asked if he'd had any accidents during the previous year. The cowboy replied, "No. But I was bitten by a rattlesnake and kicked by a horse. And they kicked me in the ribs. And that did lay me up for a while." So the agent scratched his head and he said, "Well, weren't those accidents?" "No," replied the cowboy. "They did it on purpose." So there are no accidents in God's kingdom. Nothing happens by chance. What he has for us, he's purpose for us. And as we live, and as we move as a church with a bigger view of God, there will be purpose in our actions. But you know, we live in a world that has a lack of purpose. And unfortunately, that brushes and washes into the church. Catherine Ann Porter, who I don't know, but she wrote this. She says, "I'm appalled at the aimlessness of most people's lives. 50% don't pay any attention to where they're going. 40% are undecided and will go in any direction. Only 10% know what they want in life. And even then, not all of them go towards it." You see, if we have a goal, if we have a bigger picture, if we have a God perspective of where we're going, we suddenly have goals in our lives that give us something to focus on that's concrete. And that has a positive effect on our actions. Goals help us to focus our attention on our purpose, and it makes it the most dominant aspiration in our life. It what moves us forward. So I want to pray. So you can close your eyes if you like. You know, it's been said that the world makes way for a man who knows where he's going. Do you know where you're going with God this morning? Father, Holy Spirit, help me to convey what you would bring this morning. Not my words, but your will, Father, we ask. I pray as we look around, some of the things that you've laid on my heart, I pray that you'll place within each one of us fresh desire and goals, Lord. That through grasping your perspective, it will have a positive impact on our actions. That you'll help us focus our attention on your purposes, that we catch the bigger picture of what you are doing with us, and that each one of us will grasp the significance of the part we are to play, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If we believe God is taking us on a journey, which we do, then I believe that we will look different as he leads us on that journey, because we will grow and we will evolve. But I sensed in my spirit in preparing this that there's a challenge to us to sharpen up. There are no victories at bargain prices. We have to work with God. God doesn't just give us on a plate. He wants relationship in that. And when it comes to that sharpening up, when it comes to that self-discipline, there's two paths we can take. We can take the pain of discipline, which comes from sacrifice and growth, or we can choose the path of regret, which comes from taking the easy road and missing out on the opportunities that God has for us. And we each have a choice in that. No one can make that choice for you. We each have a choice in that. So my prayer for me and us is that as we catch God's bigger purpose and bigger picture of what he's doing, that we make the right decisions in our lives and we walk forward in all that he has planned for us. And thankfully, God has given us his Holy Spirit. We have a spiritual tank. So is your tank full this morning? Are you full of the Holy Spirit, or are you running on empty? See, if we're running on empty, that affects the way we think and the way we approach church. When we gather like this, if we're running on empty, this becomes a meeting. When we gather in the week, oh, that's another meeting in a very busy week. And, oh, I'm too tired tonight. Oh, prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, this is a day off. I'm tired. I'm empty. I'm running on empty. But full of the Holy Spirit, our approach and our attitude is different. We get a God perspective of his kingdom. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows we need the Holy Spirit. He has given us a makeup of what our lives should be like. And there are three core elements that should be the fruit of our lives and the making of our lives. The first is this, in Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, the whole of our life should be an act of worship to God. And that's difficult to do if we're not full of the Holy Spirit. But full of the Holy Spirit, every aspect will be holy and acceptable to him. That we will allow the Holy Spirit to transform our minds, and that we would be renewed. The second core value And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, that's Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Why do we do what we do? Why are you sitting here this morning? Is it because you've come to a meeting? Or you've come full of the love of Jesus Christ? That you want to worship him? You want to give your all to him? You want to be in that buzz around brothers and sisters who are like-minded in Christ with you? Are you so full of that love of Jesus that you want to take that love of Jesus to those around you? You want them to get a share of what you have experienced in your life that makes such a difference. Yeah. The third core element. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you to do. See, we can have sessions, teaching, day-long events on evangelism. But if you're full of the love of Jesus Christ, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you cannot but help take that love to others around you. You cannot but bubble over and want to share what Jesus has done for you. So the Holy Spirit fuels all that in us. It provides that fuel that should ignite us to live our lives as an act of worship to him, to being transformed, to loving him with all our heart, to loving those around us as Jesus does, to taking that love to those who live dark and hopeless lives. And I want you to bear those three things in mind as I want to take us through our mission and our vision. Because if we don't have those core elements, those three core elements, if we're not full, have tanks that are full of the Holy Spirit, these become words. These become words. And I don't want them to be words. I want them to be a God perspective steps that take us forward as a church. So our mission. A church that brings hope and restoration to everyone in our community, town and region as family on mission together. So where that says church, I want you to read that to yourself with your name in. That you bring hope and restoration to everyone in our community, town and region. That you're part of a family here. That you will reach your neighbours, your community, your street. And the great thing is that God has not placed us on our own to do that. He's placed us in family to support us. But don't forget what I've said about being full of the Holy Spirit, because if we don't and aren't full of the Holy Spirit, if we're not looking to be that hope and restoration, church becomes a place that is serve me. Serve me. And you know what that does? That gives us a little picture. That gives us a little view, not a God perspective view. And in some ways, that's not wrong. God is here to meet our needs. But I find that when I'm only focused on my needs, then I lose my godly perspective. And you know, that's when I'm most likely to grumble and moan and complain. Yet when I shift from serve me to service, suddenly I find miraculously that not only are my needs met, but I grow. So no matter what your present level of maturity, you can meet someone else's needs because of who resides in you. God has given you resources within you. So whose need can you meet? Don't believe the lie of the enemy. You know, we're starting as a church to host, and in our growing relationship through Food Bank, many community agencies. And you know, that's our heart. But these agencies can't replace what God has called us to do. You know, most of them look for volunteers, look for help. And we want to work alongside them. You know, they might be morally positive, but they are spiritually neutral. We're the ones that take Jesus into those situations. So every time we hear of volunteers needed, every time that you hear of a hopeless situation in your community, every time you see a situation that needs godly restoration, then see it as an invitation from your community to come and show them the love of Jesus. Show them what it looks like. Show them what it feels like to be someone who is in love with Jesus. See, we assume because we move in this community of people that everyone's like us. They're not. They don't know Jesus. They are living in a hopeless, darkened world. They take from day to day. And the things that we sometimes take for granted are actually revelation to them. So what is the biggest need around you in the community where you live? What's the biggest need in this town, in this region that we live? Whatever it is, it's not bigger than God. And it shouldn't daunt us. When we're filled with God's perspective for the advancement of his kingdom, we will see it different. We've been at a conference this week and somebody said, when you see mountains from the air, they look very flat. And you know, you get a God perspective of your community, they won't see many big mountains. You'll just see the needs. They haven't got to climb anywhere. You'll just go and be everywhere. God has called us to build a church that is God-centered, Bible-based, and Spirit-filled. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit enables us to stay God-centered, but he also gives us power to witness in his word. And he's given this mighty tool that's not a DeWalt. It's the living word. It's active. It equips. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. When you climb the biggest mountain, this will give you the answers. So what does God say? For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This gives us words that brings the light into the darkest situation. God-centered, Bible-based, and Spirit-filled will grow and advance his kingdom. Amen? Do you want to see his kingdom advanced? Amen. He's going to do it through you. He's going to do it through you. That we would be the people God has called us to be in serving his purposes through the place, region, and world that we live in. You know, let the Holy Spirit take these words, they're only words, and do what he needs to do in each of us to make them more than words on a piece of paper. You know, living as an act of worship to God, loving Jesus with all our hearts, which we've read. Serving him and bringing the love of Jesus to those around us, which we've read. stepping out in the authority that he has given us to make new disciples, which we've read, we will be the people God has called us to be. Full of the Holy Spirit. Have you all got this? Yes. If you haven't, Eric will still have the ones of those who haven't got it, because he's ticking you off the list. Now, this is our confession time. There's a page missing in this. Did you realise? I didn't realise. We didn't. Nigel's prophetic word is actually not in here. So we will produce that and put it in, because it is important. These are steps. We believe these prophetic words are steps to our journey with God now and in future. They help us take those steps. Help to fulfill our vision of who we believe God has called us to be. That we would be a voice within the community and a church that plants church. Do you know God wants to do that with you? Okay. Some of you do. This is how we will serve him. His purpose is through the place, region, and world that we live in. Okay, I'd like you all to stand. We're going on the streets. No, I'm only joking. I've just seen if you're awake this morning. Okay. I want you all to stand. All to stand. Thank you. Okay. Okay, if you were born in Rugeley or in this region, I'd like you to sit down. Okay. Have a look round you. See who's sat down. Well, in this area, Staffordshire. Not sure. Are you Birmingham, Bob? No, you stay standing. You can stay standing. Okay. If you've moved to this region from another region, then you can sit down. Okay. So those left standing should be those that were born or moved from outside this region. So if you've moved, which most of you have, I think, if you were born in this nation and you've come to this town, can you sit down? Okay. Look around you. Okay. Now, those are left standing, I assume, weren't born in this country. Has that worked right? You weren't born in... Yeah, I mean, yes. yes. Okay. All right. As you sit down, one at a time, I want you to shout the nation you were born in. Okay? So, John, start with you. Okay. To be a people in God's kingdom who are locally committed yet globally connected. There are no accidents in God bringing you all here. Now, why would God place all of us in a little old town in Staffordshire? He's even brought people from across the nations. So, correct, to serve his purpose. So yes, we are locally committed, but we have nations within our church. This is what God has said over us prophetically. For I will cause you to be a significant voice even to other nations, even to other continents, and you will be a resource. So some of us have been to Janusz and Camilla's hometown. But I feel that's only the start. Where will God take you in being a resource for him? It's not by chance that we have nations within this church. Grasp the bigger vision of what God is calling us to, because he might send you somewhere on behalf of this church. We desire to see people introduced to Christ and become members of a community where they can grow to maturity, and that this community will make an impact for God's kingdom. Again, prophetically, it's been said over us. I saw and felt the excitement of what God has prepared for you as a church within the community. The fact we are called Rugeley Community Church, Kim felt the godly excitement and saw the vision God had prepared for us as a church within the community. God has said that we will be a church without walls. That we will be a people that are mixed together. That they, and we would say to people, come and see what God is doing. Bringing others to Christ, building his community. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him who Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, No. Come and see. Can anything good come out of Rugeley? Yes. Can anything good come out of Rugeley? If that's not your attitude, then ask God for a God perspective. Because if that's not your attitude, it's a lie of the enemy. But there's also a challenge to us. Kim shouted, there needs to be a breaking within the heart of the people to see God's vision for the community. They haven't grasped the potential of the vision. They have not perceived what God is doing within the community. Is that you? Is that you? Have you caught the God perspective vision and purpose? That we would make an impact within the community we live. And you know, part of that fulfillment of this statement, I believe, is going to be and come through our growth groups. I've mentioned this before, but I'm looking for the day when our growth groups are not just a place where we grow and we step out in our giftings. That through maturity, we make an impact of the community where we meet. We take the love of Jesus out, that we practically help those around where we're meeting. That we would be bold, bright, and very visible. That we would bring the light of Christ to the whole of Rugeley. We want to see the spiritual regeneration of this town and the surrounding area. Yes? Come through proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and expressed through social action. A church of hope and restoration. But you know, there is a second best attitude still over this town. And you know what that does? It sucks any hope or desire or purpose out of those that live and feel and think that. I suspect you've come across the same issue. I can spend 5 minutes or more talking to someone who doesn't live in this area, explaining where Rugeley is. I start usually between Stafford and Lichfield. And if I still get a blank look, I say it's north of Birmingham. And if I still get a blank look, I say it's in the West Midlands. I guess I've got to carry a map around, probably will be. But you know what else I've heard? I've heard stories of people who don't even live in this town running it down. What good can come out of Rugeley? Don't let this atmosphere produce a small-minded picture of what God can and will do in this town. You know, we can take that on board very easily. We will see spiritual regeneration in this town as we take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. It will change the atmosphere of where we live. And I pray that you get revelation of that. We had to go to Kansas to get revelation of that. We went on a Wednesday and came back on a Monday. That's a long way to go. But God said this to us, to Jacqueline and myself: I feel like you guys are atmosphere changers. And I feel like the Lord's going to use you to change the atmosphere of your city. It doesn't have to stay the way it is. There are some who would cling to the status quo. And you guys are like a voice which says, no, there's more than that. It doesn't have to be this way. Do you walk around this area and say, in this town, it doesn't have to be this way? Now, if God said that to Jacqueline and myself, and we lead this church, I lead this church, then God is saying to you, as part of this church, you can change the atmosphere where we are. And it isn't about praying for change. You know, we can pray, God, change this place around us. I think our prayer's got to change. It's got to be, God, change me. Make me that person who is so full of worship, who gives you my soul, spirit, mind, who give my all to you, who steps out so full of the love of Jesus for the love of those around us, who takes the love of the gospel of what Jesus has done for each one of us. That will change the atmosphere. Because we will be full of our love for Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. We will bring His hope and restoration to those around us. So our prayer needs to be, Lord, change me. Lord, make me more in love with you each and every day. Holy Spirit, fill me more and more each and every day. That you would use me, Lord, to change the atmosphere in my town. To take that love. Rugeley Food Bank, Chase Area Pregnancy Centre, Access English Happy Tots are all steps in expressing the love of Jesus. And that's their first and primary role. But I believe, increasingly, they will have opportunities to share the gospel. I know some, in some situations that's already happened. And we have an ever-increasing number of agencies using this building. Again, we want to serve them firstly with the love of Jesus. But again, it's an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ. Prophetically, God has said, Rugeley's an old town, but regeneration is in progress. We need to reflect that regeneration, and the boundaries are expanding as there is new development. What good can come out of Rugeley? We can come out of Rugeley. Let us reflect what God is doing in us. What good can come out of Rugeley? Jesus can come out of Rugeley. I believe this town is, and this region are going to be known on the map for what God is going to do in and through us. So don't look at what it is now. Look to God and ask Him what He wants to do with you that makes us the people that He uses to change the region that we live in. That we would reflect Jesus in everything that we do, say, and are. There, I pray there will be a day when I say, I come from Rugeley, they say, isn't that the place where God's really moving? Yeah? They won't worry whether it's between Stafford or Lichfield, north of Birmingham, in the West Midlands. They'll just say, how'd you get there? Do you believe that? Get a godly perspective of what He's saying to us. These words, His word, cannot be separated. We either believe this is what He's calling us to be, or we don't. I believe it. I don't see it. But then, if I could see it, and I could achieve it, I don't, that'd be God. What do we do with Steve Furtick? He said, if it's achievable, If it's not audacious, then we have to question, is it from a God? Well, we've got to make a stand. We've got to make a stand and say, yes, I believe God's going to change this region that we live in. We want to be inclusive of all ages, classes, races. Well, you can read that for yourself. Guiding and encouraging them through Jesus Christ. We are family on mission together. And what does that look like? Because that's good to say. They're good words to say. What does that look like? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. That's what it looks like. We're each one of us here, part of this church. Don't let the world's number one look after number one brush on you. We need to cultivate a culture full of the Holy Spirit. The same God that moved through that early church in Acts is here today. That's how we'll draw people in. Not because of our programs, not because of the building, but because they'll find love and acceptance in Jesus Christ. They will see something the world cannot offer them when they see a people who are full of the Holy Spirit. And God has said to us, I will send great waves of blessing. We've had that already this morning in the prayer time. They will come to the land by the canal. I will flood the land, and my spirit and riches will come from poor soils. You will move in signs and wonders. Are you a willing vessel? Do you dare to believe that God would use you to move in signs and wonders? Amen. That we would have a facility that would be a resource center to both the community we live in and for the kingdom of God. The reason I'm trying to paint a godly perspective, a bigger picture in regards to what God has called us to do, is that we catch his vision. This isn't some sort of subword in getting ready for the offering day or what the building looks like. They are all insignificant, to be honest. What matters is that we catch what Christ has called us to be and do where we live. You know, if we have a God perspective, we trust him. We'll take large steps of faith in whatever that is for him. And we won't get bogged down in detail or doubt. Now, we've said many times, the facility will facilitate that which we believe God has called us. That it will be our new home, helping us fulfill what it means to be a church without walls. I've said this before. I believe there will come a time when it's hard to see where community ends and church starts. That's the people I believe we're called to be. What does that mean? Well, it means as a people we should expect to see the kingdom of God and the gospel of God advance into the community. Wouldn't it be great if someone's coming for a food parcel or to see an agency about debt problems? And actually, in the same morning, they're getting prayed for as well. They're seeing, actually, yes, these agencies can meet their practical needs, but this is a place where I can be met with my spiritual needs. There's a wholeness. You know, I want to see, and I long for a day when we see the captive set free. We see people coming to the kingdom of light. We see healings. We see deliverance. We see you, me, acting on words of knowledge, and we see signs and wonders. We see healings. We see people change. We see that hope and restoration. And that's whether that's in the facility or whether it's in the community. That's what I mean by, and we're called to be a church without walls. We're no different when we're together than we are apart. We see God moving the same. That our facility would be a destination and it would be a hub. And I think that's important. God spoke to me that it's to be a hub. And I looked this up, and hub is described as a place that forms the effective center of an activity, region, or network. A center around which other things revolve, or for which they radiate. A focus of activity and authority. You are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God has said that we will be a resource center, opening doors to both Christian and non-Christian. And you know, I think we've talked about being a resource quite a bit to the community around us. But actually, God has talked to us about being a resource to the Christians around us. And I believe that's going to go wider afield. And you know, part of me didn't want to say this because I think, who are we? Who am I? Who am I to say that? We don't have all the answers, do we? No. But actually, God has prophetically said that over us. So if I don't say it, I'm denying him. So I believe God will equip us to reach those around us. I just want to share one more thing under this statement. Prepare for growth. You look constantly through what God has spoken us prophetically over the last 13 years. Prepare for growth. Prepare for growth. We've seen it to some degree here, but you know, we hit a ceiling each time. This building has served us well, but it can only facilitate us so far. But it's vital that we grasp the bigger picture. Our godly values won't change, but as God grows us and shapes us and develops us to be a church with no walls, then surely a church with no walls should look different to a church with walls. So as I've said, I believe we will look different. Run, say to that young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I will be with her, a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord. And I will be the glory in her midst. Lord, will you break out from us? Will we become that church that doesn't have walls in the community we live? Lord, may the only wall be the fire of your presence, Lord. Lord, we want to declare Jesus where we live, where we meet, who we are. And we want to see the glory of you, Lord, in our midst. You know, none of this happens without you. God has saved you for a purpose. And my question is our Christian walk part of our life, or is it our life? If it's only part of our lives, we end up in a semi-no man's land that God never intended us. We're not fully in the world because the world doesn't fit. But we're not fully experiencing the fullness of his kingdom. You, each of you, have a destiny. You're custom made for the purposes that God has set over you. Remember what Luana read last week? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You're not just brought here to perfectly fit into this body. You're brought here to stand out in this body, in fulfilling the purposes. As you are unique. Embrace it and watch God use it for his glory. The question to ask God in this journey, where does my experience, talents, and passions converge? Because where they converge and where you're full of the Holy Spirit, that's a powerful place to be in God's kingdom. And we need to get ready for growth in this church.
I'm not going to go there.
Are you committed to a growth group? Because as we grow, that's going to be important. We grow best and we grow most in a small group environment. You know, we can impress from a distance, but we make an impact close up. And that's part of growth group's role. We're close up with one another. And maybe some of the reason that some of us aren't gaining victory in key areas is because we're not committed to a growth group. As we grow, we need the support of one another. And that will increasingly be within a smaller setting. Because you can't get that as you get into a bigger hall with more people. But the early church, the example. So let us be a people that impact with one another. And as we impact with one another, we will again impact the community we live in. We don't want to be people who impress from a distance. We want to be real and open and honest with one another. And it helps. It helps to build relationship. You know, this journey is going to hit, at some stage, your preference. I don't have a preference, Richard. Oh, you do have a preference. It's hit my preferences already. And sometimes we don't know what those preferences are until the journey hits. And suddenly, have you seen where they want to put that new facility? Oh, it means I might have to walk further. How are we going to get there? Have you seen how many chairs are laid out in that new hall? It's far too many. It's all getting too big and too grand. Oh, and the songs. Oh. And new faces. And you know what? One of those new faces was in my seat this Sunday. You know, what is church coming to when someone sits in my seat who I don't even know? We're not good at change. I know that because I'm not. That's why I have to grasp a godly perspective. Because it shifts our attitude from serve me to service. What lies behind us and what lies before us are only tiny matters, I'll put in brackets, to God, compared to what lies within us. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of the love of Jesus, we won't worry what lies before us. We'll be consumed by wanting to fulfill what he's called us to. We'll want to love Jesus in the community that we live. As I was preparing for this, God reminded me of the Dam Busters film. And I want you to close your eyes, because I felt what he said this: each one of you here is like a Lancaster bomber. Yeah? And you're each carrying a spiritual payload of godly purposes. And he's lining us up. He's lining us up. The days of flyovers of practice are over. Just as they had to, in the Dam Busters, line up those two spots of light so it was perfect to drop the payload, so he's lining us up. And in his perfect timing, we're going to see a release of the Holy Spirit and a release of the payload within us. And we'll see breakthrough like we've never seen before. Walls and strongholds will come tumbling down. And we will increasingly see God make opening into lives that don't know him yet. So, Father, I pray that. I pray that we will get a godly perspective, that you'll come into view. And whatever walls that we face before us, Lord, we will know that in your Holy Spirit, you will use us to break through your kingdom. And just in finishing, I am grateful for other people's testimonies. I'm grateful for the testimonies I've heard in our journey of what God has done in other churches. But I want our testimony in this church. I want us to have a testimony to say, this is what our God, my God, has done with me in Rugeley and the region that we live in. I'm grateful for other people's testimonies, but I want ours. But you know, there will be a cost, but it's how we grow. Yeah. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Get a God perspective of what God is doing with us. Because he's called us to an extraordinary, exciting journey.